You're listening to The Point. If you saw Sam Bellamy on the sidewalk, you might cross to the other side of the street. He wears strange outfits. He appears eccentric, even a little bit crazy. But if you get close to him, you ask him why he dresses and acts the way he does, you'll realize he might be eccentric, but he has a very good reason for it. Producer Peter Bresnan has the story.
Deciding who to tell the truth to is difficult. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm learning. I guess I'm still learning, you know, when to trust somebody and to tell them and when not to. There were death threats. They processed it by saying, you know, he's crazy. He's dangerous. He's possessed. He's into devil stuff. He's a Satanist. Somebody tracked me down and tried to take me out. But there have been numerous other occasions. And I've learned to become quite frightening to these people, so I can scare them off usually.
How did you scare them?
Confidence, not being afraid whatsoever. A guy says something to me I don't like or threatens to punch me, I'll just stand right there and say, okay, come and punch me, let me see it. Some guy threatened to shoot me 3 nights ago, and I said, okay, where's the gun? There were a number of things that happened like that, just on the sole factor that they just didn't understand. Why are you walking around with a giant tricorn hat on and singing pirate songs? Like, that's not normal.
28-year-old Sam Bellamy doesn't look like most people. He dresses differently. It's as close as you can get to what a pirate would wear in the early 18th century. Tricorn hat, knee-length velvet pea coat, a cane. And it's not just when he's at home. This is what he wears whenever he runs errands in his hometown on Long Island or goes to buy a coffee at the 7-Eleven. But there's a good reason for this. Behind the superficial weirdness, there is this long, complicated story. A spiritual upheaval and an identity crisis rolled into one. And it starts, like a lot of stories do, with a kid who just felt different from everybody else.
When I was very young, most of the kids didn't like me because they couldn't relate. I walked around covered in old antique jewelry. I would be wearing like long earrings, golden necklaces, which of course made me seem like absolutely bizarre to these kids. I didn't like to see the faces of all the people who just didn't like me for me. Everyone else my age looked at me and made a face every time they saw me. It was like, okay, I didn't hurt them. I might have different interests, but I did not hurt these people, you know what I'm saying? So why don't they like me? Why do they get upset when I walk into the room? I literally, you know, as a kid, I literally would like get on my knees and pray, you know, God, please make me normal. I want to be normal.
Sam grew up with what he calls radical puritanical parents, the kind of people who saw a demon behind every door. His mother, in particular, he says, tried to push him to become someone who could fit right into a Norman Rockwell painting. But then, when he was 7 years old, Sam had an experience that for the rest of his life would make being normal impossible.
My father was a landscaper. One weekend, he took me out to a very wealthy and nautical section of this, you know, this island to landscape someone's house. So it was getting late. The sun was setting, and I was just walking around by myself in the backyard, and, you know, there was a boardwalk and, like, a little dock, and it was completely private. I walked out towards the water because I felt drawn to it. I looked out at the water, and I felt this very powerful feeling of memory, and it didn't make any sense. I looked out at the water, and I saw the lights, and I saw, you know, the boats in the distance, and I saw the horizon, and I was hit with this very powerful feeling in my chest. You know when you're like, this is a good way to describe this, if you're with a girl and you feel completely in love and she suddenly tells you, no, I never cared about you, like you get this hard, very hard feeling inside your chest of like a sinking feeling. So I guess it's like being in love and losing it at the same time. But it wasn't all bad, the feeling. It was like this, I was moved to tears. And I was just like, holy crap, I don't know what's happening to me. You know, this doesn't make any sense at all, you know. I felt like I remembered something. I felt like a man, like an adult. There were years that I felt that I had been here, that I knew this wasn't the beginning. I wasn't 7 years old. After that, I tried to forget about it. I tried to be normal, quote unquote, because it scared me. It didn't make sense. You know, I had nothing to go on. There was nobody who I knew who had anything similar happening to them. people couldn't relate, so I kind of learned to keep my mouth shut.
After this experience, Sam became a very different kind of kid. Keeping his mouth shut took its toll. He says he became manipulative and bullying. When he was 11, his parents separated. He was furious at his dad for leaving, and he took his anger out on the other kids. But that feeling he had of somehow being different never truly went away. He was still obsessed with the ocean. He researched sea myths and monsters, and when he was a young adult, he began visiting shipwreck sites on the Long Island coast. And when he visited these sites, that feeling of love and loss he experienced on the boardwalk when he was 7 always returned. Until one day, it didn't leave when he came home. That heartbroken pressure in his chest was constant, all day, every day. At first, he resisted it. But then...
there was a moment where I just allowed it. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to resist this at all anymore. I want to know what this is about. I want it to make sense. And piece by piece, it started to fall into place.
Soon, this feeling Sam had of being connected to something larger than himself was coupled with dreams and memories. Dreams of living on a ship in the 1700s. Dreams of being adrift on the water. He would lie in bed at night and feel the waves lapping on his legs.
It felt like I was part of something, basically. Something big and something important. That I was part of some great story. And that it wasn't over yet. And it just, as it stayed with me, of course, I had more time to think about it and analyze the feeling. And I realized that it was something. What it was is it was a feeling from another life.
By the time Sam was in his early 20s, the realization that he'd lived past lives seemed obvious. And once he stopped trying so hard to be normal, his physical transformation followed soon after.
I always felt uncomfortable in my own skin. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just didn't look like I wanted to look. I decided, you know, as time went on, I dressed more and more old-fashioned because I just felt comfortable that way. It just felt right.
What can you describe, like, what kind of outfit you usually wear?
A brocade jacket, that's kind of like an old pea coat type of thing with, like, silver buttons. Underneath the coat, I would usually wear a vest. Sometimes, you know, an ascot. Sometimes a cravat. I remember the first time I wore a tricorn hat, which was a huge step for me. Somebody gave me one as a gift. They said, oh, I have a pirate hat for you. I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's going to really, like, that's a little bit too much, is what I thought. But I'm like, no, I should do it. So I forced myself to put it on. So I put it on and I walked around and people were laughing and pointing and I felt very uncomfortable. But I'm like, I got to do this. I got to make myself do this. And within a couple of days, that was part of my new thing. That was the tricorn hat was part of the thing. It sounds very silly, but I went and I looked in the mirror and a couple of things suddenly clicked at that moment. I was just like, yeah, I am a pirate, yeah. That's why I look like a pirate, because I am a pirate.
This is the moment that ended more than a decade of uncertainty. For Sam Bellamy, this is the truth. He is the reincarnation of a famous English pirate named Samuel Bellamy, who died in a shipwreck off the coast of Cape Cod in 1717. To him, this explains the strangeness that has dogged him his entire life, his attraction to the sea, his memories of living on a ship, his preference for old-timey clothing. All that finally made sense. And in 2013, he stopped using his birth name and adopted the name Sam Bellamy in its place.
It felt like waking up from a long night's dream, you know. Like I was lost in the woods for a long, long time, and I finally got out, you know. And I was finally home. I felt more myself than I ever felt in my entire life. I felt more comfortable in my own skin than I ever felt in my entire life. I was with a girl at the time, and I was telling her, I was like, a lot of things are about to change in my life, because I know who I am now.
And his life did change, for better and for worse. Even if this whole thing is actually a performance, the pirate clothes, the spiritual experiences, the dreams and memories, then he's gone to great lengths to perfect that performance, in spite of the consequences, which Sam claims have been pretty serious.
Deciding who to tell the truth to is difficult. There were death threats. There was this one guy, a former Marine, who came after me and tried to kill me. I lost a lot of friends. A lot of people I was close with for a long time, I lost. They turned away.
Did it bother you that people
weren't accepting me? Oh, yeah. It made me very upset because I wasn't doing anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? I was a nice guy. You know, I was very, very gentle and kind, you know, to everyone that I was friends with. And people were saying stuff. They weren't okay with that. They were something that they couldn't understand was happening. It made them scared. It was the beginning of my hate group, which still exists today, by the way. People that become friends with each other because they don't like me, which is actually a thing.
This is a little personal, but how much have you told your mother?
Not much. She asked me if I was a satanic priest. She asked me if I was a vampire. But when she saw I was using the name Samuel Bellamy and that I was getting mail addressed to Samuel Bellamy, she looked at me one day and she said, "Are you my son? Are you actually my son, or are you somebody else?"
What did you say to her?
I said, of course I'm your son. Why would you think anything otherwise? That was it.
When Sam tells the story himself, he makes it seem like he has enemies lurking everywhere, around every corner, even in his own family, and that he is an army of one, ready to take on anyone who tries to harass him. And a lot of this is hard to fact check. If his accounts of persecution are true, then Sam is the only witness. And as for his mother, Sam asked me not to contact her. But assuming that even some of what he says is true, it really made me wonder, could Sam Bellamy possibly enjoy the new life that he's built for himself? So I asked him, "Are you happy?"
Yeah, I mean, there's always, life is very complicated, you know? There's always going to be something negative in your life. Money, friends turning on you, you know, whatever you want, whatever it is. There's always something. But if you're careful, you can be very inspired on a day-to-day basis, and that can help you get through the day and get through the night. This world is bigger and more than what people realize it is, no matter how bad things seem and no matter how, you know, mundane and pointless. There is, you know, there is something, some sort of, you know, not to sound like Star Wars, there is some sort of force, you know, there is an unseen world. No matter what happens, you'll remember, okay, this isn't the worst thing. You know what I'm saying? Even death is not the worst thing.
That piece was produced by Peter Bresnan earlier this year as part of the Transom Story Workshop. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.